Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome once again to the West London Sport KPR podcast. We're back after a short hiatus where, to be honest, we didn't feel much like talking about Rangers and you probably didn't want to listen to us amid the current run of results and performances that sees the team now sitting in the bottom three. Given we like to be upbeat and positive on here, we hope this short respite may lead to an upturn in results, with our last appearance being ahead of the fairly forgettable 0-0 draw at Birmingham. But it wasn't to be, as Rangers went into the international break on the back of tame losses to Coventry and Leeds, for that humiliating 4-0 home defeat to a depleted Blackburn side. That loss made it 11 home matches without a win for Gareth Ainsworth, the longest by any QPR manager in the club's 141-year history. I'm joined, as ever, by Kevin Gallen, and I think it's fair to say, Kev, Ainsworth can feel quite fortunate to still be in a job following a quite shocking performance, which more than one person has said to me is the worst they've ever seen by a QPR team at home.
Yes, I was at the game against Blackburn the Saturday before, and we can't sugarcoat anything from a QPR perspective. Very poor performance. Obviously, the result was extremely bad. 4-0, could have been more. I think we had one shot in the first couple of minutes with Sinclair Armstrong, and then Colley had a shot in the second half where he probably should have scored. But other than that, we didn't create anything. We looked wide open at the back. Team selection, looking back at it, and I know it's easy to say in hindsight, but the team selection was very poor. To go with, you know, your holding midfield player suspended in Sam Field, who does a good job protecting the back four or five, which has been the case most of the season, to then not have him in the team and then to go to a flat back four and go 4-4-2. Again, at home, I've seen it last season against Bristol City, Preston, Coventry, where we've gone with two in midfield and get absolutely dominated. And that was the case again against Blackburn. And there's nothing really good to say about that performance other than that we kept the score down.
I mean, it's been, you know, Gareth, he's had 25 games in charge, and you kind of give him a pass from when he first sort of took over because the team was in a bit of free fall, a lot of injuries and that. But I mean, you have to say that it hasn't really been any noticeable improvement in the team from when he took over to now. I mean, it's, you know, I've got the stats here in front of me. After 25 games, he's won 5, lost 16, drawn 4. And conceded 46 and scored just 18. That's sort of averaging less than a point a game, which, you know, frankly, that's why QPR are in the bottom three, really, aren't they?
Well, those stats, listening to them, slow stats, there's no way. I don't know really what to say, but other than it's just horrendous stats. To win one game at home in Twitter. What? How long has he been? Gareth been in charge? The Watford game.
February. Was that February?
Mm.
We're now. He took over in February. The last home win was 1-0 at home to Watford in March.
Well, it's just obviously it's just terrible results. And I actually thought when he Gareth walked around the pitch against Blackburn, I thought he was sort of saying goodbye, and that's how a lot of people felt in the ground on that Saturday, that he was saying goodbye. I don't really know what to say, Ian. Those stats that you just put out are just absolutely horrendous, and something's got to change. And it's been poor now for a year, isn't it? Let's be fair. This one home win in the calendar year. Is it October to October? We're coming to the end of October now. So one home win, that Watford game, and that's just, I don't see any other club with that situation. And it's not as if it's a lack of support. I think the supporters, and I've said it time and time again, the supporters especially, I haven't been to many away games, but the supporters at home this season have been, right behind the team. Right behind the team and got behind them and clapped them when they deserved it and stuck with them when they probably didn't deserve it. They don't, the home supporters don't deserve this situation, and it's difficult to see how it can carry on.
Yeah. I think, in comparison, there's been other managers and had short-lived reigns at QPR, like Steve McLaren and Hasselbank, and I just did a little look at their figures earlier on today, and McLaren, it was 111, lost 9, drawn 5, score 31, conceded 32 at 1.52 average per match. And, he lost his first four games in charge and had a 7-1 defeat to West Brom in the middle of that. And, Hasselbank, we remember that era, it was fairly mundane stuff. He won 6, lost 6, drew 13, scored 29. Conceded 26 in his first 25 games. And, I know McLaren had at his disposal Iberi Eze, but he wasn't Iberi Eze now. He wasn't the Iberi Eze of now then. And I think that squad is no inferior to what is the squad there now. And I think the same with Hasselbank. There were some okay players, but you had some very kind of bang average players in those squads, like Joel Lynch and Jake Bidwell, those types of players. And I look at it now and it's still a talented squad. I think there's players in there. This time last year, we were talking about Rangers being top of the league and potentially pushing for the playoffs, and injuries struck in and there's various issues as to, why they fell away. But the facts remain that it's not the best squad in the division by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't think it's a bottom three squad.
Well, I think the first 11, if it's picked right in the right formation, is a decent team. And it's not a bottom three team, but has to be played in the right tactical situation. And I'm talking, Ilias Chair playing left midfield. It's just not for me. He's not a winger. He's not going to track back. He'll do a little bit, but he's not an up and downer. Help the fullback. He's a little bit of a luxury player. He's a luxury player. But you've got to get the ball to him in the right areas. And he's a number 10, or he's just slightly playing off the striker on the left. But he's not a left midfielder in a 4-4-2. And that formation and that setup with players on Saturday was just, to play Lakesh, a left-footed left back at right back, and then playing Duke McKenna in front of him with no protection, and then playing Jimmy Dunn, who has been out since the start of the season, and playing Colback and Dazelle. And Dazelle is not a closer down. He's not a battler. If you want to get anything out of Dazelle, you've got to play him in a three to try and get him on the ball. But to play him in a two in midfield, it's not going to work. And the opposition team must be thinking, we will dominate here. And then the lack of service up to the two strikers, those two strikers need crosses in the box. Drew McKenna down the right. He's not going to put crosses on the box. He's pretty much a midfielder. Chair on the left will put, but he will cut in and put, not going to go down the byline and put a cross in. He's going to come in inside and whip some balls in. So, and then conceding goals, like, was it seven goals in the last two home games? So, you know, you try, you're down at the bottom, you're going to be trying to be hard to beat. And I've been in situations where you might be struggling with confidence. And the first thing is, we don't concede. You don't concede. Let's be tight. Let's be strong. Let's be competitive. Let's defend our box. We haven't done anything. And it's just, it'd be interesting to see what happens on Saturday, because that's a sort of, is it already a relegation six-pointer? Maybe. Because they're down there. They've changed the manager. Be interesting to see how they play. Will they change their style from what the Warnock style was? I'm sure they will. They'll try and knock the ball about a little bit more than they usually do. But it's pretty much a relegation six-pointer. We're coming into the end of middle of October, to the end of October. So be interesting to see. But if I was in charge, or if I was giving any advice to anyone, play five at the back. Be strong. Be resilient. Maybe concede a little bit of possession and try and hit this Huddersfield team on the break.
I mean, in terms of balance and fairness, I will say, you know, with Sam Field not being in there, and Steve Cook injured, and Fox being injured, I mean, he was a bit limited in who he could play in the midfield. But I mean, you can stretch that back to, they didn't do enough in the summer. I mean, you could have got someone in on loan. You know, last season they had a Rubenham, they had Luke Amos, these players that could fill in centre midfield. And there is a real lack of options to fill in midfield when you do get inevitable suspensions or injuries that come in. And, you know, for one player to be missing like Field and to be such a kind of catastrophe in the middle of the park, that's worrying, really worrying.
Yeah, well, it comes down to recruitment, and it also comes down to the finances. I don't know the ins and outs. Maybe they couldn't afford another midfield player. Maybe they were after a striker at the end of the transfer window. I don't know the whole situation. Maybe that fell down and then they couldn't get someone in. But yeah, I think the problem with QPR, and like I said, I think the 11 or 12 that you could pick is a decent team. I just think that the squad, when there becomes a few injuries and suspensions and a lack of form, players go off form as well, I think QPR are struggling in the depth of the squad.
I mean, I suppose, again, it goes down to, I mean, a lump of the budget was spent on having to sign Taylor Richards.
Well, that's amazing thing. I mean, we're talking about midfielders, and this lad's nowhere to be seen. He's not even in the team photo. I mean, well, what's going on? It's been now, we're not talking about, he's only been here since the summer. He was here last summer and we hardly seen him. So something's not right there. Chris Willock, he didn't start. I mean, people say, yeah, he's not doing it, but rather have him on the team, because at least one thing he can do, get hold of it. And look, he's playing for his, I mean, Chris Willock, let's be fair, he's got a year left. Well, he's not. He's got how long left? 8 months of his contract left? 8 months. So he's going to be a free transfer. The QPR, you've got to sell him in January, because he's not going to sign again, and get some money for him, or get him on the pitch and try and keep the team up, the club up. He has to perform, because if he don't, no one will take him in the summer. Do you understand? It's like, if you're not playing, your options become limited, because everyone will be looking at Chris Willock. Well, he was great 2 years ago, but where is he now? He hasn't played a game and QPR are struggling. Something's not right behind the scenes. That's what the other clubs will be saying. Scouts will be saying, where is he? Now, he might get lucky and someone takes a punt on him in the summer. But I think QPR need to do something quickly. I think they need to sell him and try and get some sort of money, if they can, in January, to then reinvest in the squad. Bring in another striker. Bring in another centre midfield player. Because you just, one, you're wasting a wage if you're not playing him. And two, he's just going to go on a free at the end of the season if you're not going to play him. So you're just wasting a wage. Try and get him sold. But you have to play him till January and say, look, we'll sell you in January, but you've got to play well here, because no one's going to take you if you don't play well. So he's got to buck his ideas up if he wants to move. And if he plays well, then it benefits QPR as well.
It does seem to me, I mean, I've never been a professional footballer, so I can only go from what I think and what I see, is that he's been a good player for QPR under Mike Warburton, and he was a good player for QPR under Michael Beale. He's had injuries, and it does seem he was injured when Ainsworth took over. And when he has played him, he seems very, he'll hook him after an hour. There's, you know, he'll just say, oh, he's not fit enough. I don't know of any footballer that there's always rumours, oh, he doesn't want to play. I don't think there's any footballer that doesn't want to play.
No. Well,
you've played over 600 games. You've been around dressing rooms and that. Players want to play, don't they? And when they're not playing, that's when their attitudes become problems. Is that?
Yeah, no, I agree. You want to play. And the only time a footballer or me personally had a problem with any manager is when I wasn't picked. And I used to have, then I wouldn't like that manager. So if you're playing every week and the manager says, I'm going to play you every week, you're going to love that manager. One, financially, if you're playing, you're probably on appearance money. So it's in your best interest to play. If you win, you probably get a win bonus. So, do you know what I mean? If you score, you might be on a goal bonus. So you're losing money by not playing every week. I know I'm not. It's not Dan. But also, Chris Woolock, he needs to play because he needs his contract's up in the summer. So he needs a move. And the more he plays and the better he plays, the better move he's going to get. Now, someone said to me, we had that reunion against Blackburn, and someone said to me, and it was quite a good point, Chris Woolock's been at the club how long? Three seasons, maybe more?
Hmm.
Was it three?
This is his fourth season, yeah.
Fourth season. And he said he's only had four good months in four seasons, four or five good months. And I thought, and I went, do you know what? You've got a good point there. Last season, he had 2 months. Under Warburton, maybe 2 months. He hasn't been consistent, but he's had his moments. The thing with Chris Woolock is, and I can see in you, you're a big fan of him. He can get to 8 out of 10 and 9 out of 10. Do you understand? Where some players can get to, they're just sevens all the way. Yeah. He can get to an 8 or a 9 and go down to a 4 and a 5. But because he can get to the 8 or 9, everyone's like hoping on the potential, but he has to step up and do it. And he has to get picked to step up and do it. So it's beneficial for the club for him to play and play well. And it's best beneficial for Chris Woolock to play and play well for himself.
Yeah. I think that's a little bit harsh, saying he's only had 4 good months. I think when he signed for the club, Bright Sammy was here and he was sort of blooded in by Mark Warburton sort of game by game. And he did look like he wasn't ready. But then in that second half of that lockdown season, where after Charlie Austin came in and Sam Field, etc., he finished the season very strongly, and they had some really good wins against, like, I mean, they thumped Sheffield Wednesday, I think, and they thumped Coventry at home. And he was very good in those games. And then he went into that season, the first season after lockdown, and he looked really good, you know. And then I know there were only friendlies, games against Man United and Leicester at home. But before the season, and, you know, he didn't look out of place at all. He looked good. And then going into that season, the start of the season, Rangers were in the sort of around the top four. He was excellent. And then he got that injury at Forest where he tore his hamstring. And since then, it's been stop start. And then obviously, the start of last season under Beale, looked really good.
Yeah, and then 6 weeks, he was excellent. That's why I say he got 8 and 9s.
Yeah. And the thing is, and if he's not an Ainsworth, he doesn't seem like an Ainsworth player. He's not got a track back. He's a languid sort of, that's just the way he is, a languid sort of player.
He ain't going to track back. And Ilias Chair will do a little bit, but he's not really. So that's where you have to play three in midfield.
But he's got to be in the team, though. Surely he's better than... He's got to be in the team ahead of Duke McKenna. You know, he couldn't even get on the Leighton Orient team last year when he's on loan.
Well, exactly. I see what Gareth is trying to do, a bit of legs and running, but no disrespect. Like you just said, he couldn't get into Leighton Orient's team and now he's playing in the Championship. It's a big step up.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the same time, you know, you don't want to see, I'd never want to see anyone lose their job or what have you, but it's, you know, it's football, it's a ruthless business, and it's a results business, ultimately. And the results have been terrible. It's been
professional football is, there's no doubt about it. There's no getting away of we're planning for the future. QPR are not planning for, it's a here and now results business, 3 o'clock Saturday, 7, 8 o'clock Tuesday night, got to win 3 points. The fans demand it.
Mm. And I think as well, I mean, what is, you know, I've got a lot of good friends of mine that, you know, are QPR fans, and there's people saying I'm not actually going to go until he's gone because it's ruining, I'm not enjoying it. I'm ruining the football. There's, you know, the next home games against Leicester, we'll probably get flogged given on how we're playing. And I've never known that before at QPR. It's very difficult at the moment. I mean, I think many people could understand. I think no one's under any illusions that the financial situation at the minute means that they're not going to go out and spend money they haven't got, and the threat of losing points, you've got to cut your cloth accordingly, you know. And I don't think anyone was under any illusions it was not going to be an easy season this year. But I kind of expected under Gareth Ainsworth it'd be hard to beat. They'd be in games, they'd be niggly, maybe not the best football to watch at times, but I can live with that if you can see what's happening on the field. I can go, okay, I can see what they're trying to do. I can't see any of that. They don't score any goals. They're letting too many goals, and they look easy to beat. And in the, you know, most of my life I spent watching QPR at home. I always remember they've always been solid at home. Solid. Oh, yeah, always. In the Premier League, it was a bit different. There was games, you know, the Red Knapp era, the Hughes time. You know, winning at home proved to be as difficult as winning away. But by and large, the home form has always been solid.
About hard to beat. I mean, the last goal against Blackburn, I don't know if you didn't go to the game. I seen it. I got a son who plays under 13s. If his team did that under 13s, I'd want to kill him. I mean, the keeper literally rolls it out to the midfielder who just passes it in behind, and Lakesh sets Mokas or whatever his name is, and I've never seen in professional at QPR a goal so simple and so for the opposition, so badly defended by QPR. It's just unbelievable goal. Like, poor defending. Unbelievable.
Mm.
And you talk about, yeah, and you did expect, you know, under Gareth, I did expect it would be hard to beat, would be tough. We could defend set pieces and we'd win and we'd score set pieces. I thought, we haven't scored one set piece either, have we?
No. No. I mean, they've only scored 18 goals since he's been as manager. And certainly this season, the only set-piece goal was Kenneth Powers against Sunderland from a throw-in. So, you know, it's not an easy job, but he's inherited. I get that. But, you know, it's got to be better than this. It has to be. And, you know, really, there's a huge game on Saturday for him now. I mean, I think if they don't beat Huddersfield on Saturday up there, then, it it's going to be very hard to see a way back for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive game, that, Ian. Not only is it, I think it's a six-pointer, but it's also a game to save his job. I mean, it's just, look, Gareth is a teammate of mine, friend of mine, but I'm a QPR fan. I've got to be as honest as I can on these podcasts, but, you know, it's hard to see if he loses that game on Saturday how he can stay in the job, because of the results and the stats that you just read out 10 minutes ago just tells its own story. We don't even have to talk, you know, it tells its own story.
Mm. Now, inevitably, when a manager's under pressure, there's always names that prop up as potential replacements. And
don't say it, Ian. Don't say it.
The name Neil Warnock crops up every time a Rangers manager is under pressure. And we have a new name that's cropping up. Unsurprisingly, it's the man that we were lauding this time last year, you know, as a potential new Terry Venables, and what a great job he was doing before he walked out. So he's Mick, also known as Michael Beale, it was a story that came out this week that he might be interested in a potential return to Rangers should Ainsworth get the sack now.
Well, he's putting the feelers out already, isn't he, Ian?
Yeah.
Probably putting the feelers out to see what the fan base would say about it.
Now, if, you know, there's, with Bill, I mean, I think there's no doubt about it. He is an excellent coach. I don't think that's can be questioned. Some of the performances Rangers put in, although the last few games were bad, it was tailing off a little bit. But, you know, some of the away performances, particularly wins at Watford, Sheffield United, some really good home wins against Cardiff, Hull, these types of teams under him, they were impressive. It was good. And there was a reason why the club and the fan base were very, very upset when he went. However,
come on.
However, you know, QPR fans have long memories. And, you know, again, speaking to friends of mine, what would you think about it? And it's a resounding no. Or wouldn't want him back. You know, he's got no integrity, no loyalty and what have you. But at the same time, do you forfeit that to kind of get him back? Or I don't know. It's I mean personally I'm really torn about it. I mean, everything I've said about him and how upset I was about it, you go, but at the same time I look at it and go, well, you half created this mess. Maybe you should come back and sort it out. But
yeah, you know, I mean, that's the interesting way you created it, come back. And it'd be just that for me personally, I can't see it. Just I think if he would have went to Wolves, if he had the opportunity to go to Wolves, where we know that if that was true or a smokescreen or whatever, just if he had went to Wolves and got sacked then and come back and wanted to come back, I'd say probably yeah. But when he turned down Wolves and said, I've got, what was it, honesty and integrity, I'm going to do this and do that, and then goes up to Glasgow Rangers and sits in the director's box while Van Bronckhorst is the manager, and then I've heard gone into pubs and told while Van Bronckhorst was under pressure, you don't need, you know, the favourite for your job to be sitting in the director's box, and then to go to pubs and tell them, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That's a little bit too much for me. But like I said, if you went to Wolves and said, look, Premiership, I can't turn it down, you'd probably give it, well, do you know what? You probably can't turn it down, but then come back and say, I've got this, I've got something to prove, I brought all these players in. Surely there's someone else out there, Ian.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing.
I mean, we're talking about something that might not even happen, but look, we're talking about, I don't like talking about someone getting a job when the job's still, the job's not vacant. But I it's just an interesting topic of what you're saying about Michael Beale. Yeah. I've read some of the comments on Twitter, and some say yes, some say absolutely resounding no, and talking about it's basically your missus doing a runner with your best mate, and would you take her back and stuff like that, which made me giggle. And so, well, then, what do you think?
What do I think? I mean, I look at it from a very cynical point of view, in the fact that there's no integrity in football. I think it's not. You look at Brendan Rodgers, left Celtic, went to Leicester, and is now back at Celtic. And I know that, you know, Celtic are a far bigger club than QPR, and their fans were, you know, outraged that he left to go to Leicester. And you got Nathan Jones left Luton to go to Stoke, went back, did well. I mean, Neil Critchley left Blackpool to go to Villa before coming to QPR. He's back at Blackpool, and there was a lot of unrest about that. But, you know, so Dan Bennett tells me about Blackpool fans, but now he's League One Manager of the Month. Wins and losses. And it comes down to wins and losses. And
I mean, do you agree with what I said? If he would have went to Wolves, we would have all sort of said, well, you know, Premiership club, and then comes back and says, I won't do this to QPR. I've got honesty and integrity. I'm staying at QPR. And then 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where he's sort of.
Yeah. I think even. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's what's carved him up, isn't it? That saying all that. I mean, I think even if he'd have gone to Rangers, if he'd have turned down Wolves and gone to Ibrox and just said, look, I was here for 5 years. it's a job I can't turn down. It's European football. You know, I think Rangers fans, QPR fans would have been upset, but I think there would have been an acceptance that, okay, fair enough. Been there. We've got some compo for him.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can argue in a similar way that, you know, Gareth Ainsworth releasing images of the squad doing the Hacker has undermined him. Has Mick Beale doing that interview about why he stayed has probably done the same for him as well.
Yeah.
But then you've always got the kind of threat. Well, if QPR don't get him, someone else might get him.
Yeah. Well,
if Sheffield Wednesday get him and he does well there, it's difficult. I get it. But yeah, I'm not for any stretch of imagination saying he should come back.
Well, the thing is, this is football will be in a nutshell. If he did come back, look, this hypothetically, if he comes back and he wins his first 3-4 games in charge, everything's sort of half forgiven. But he's always in the back of the mind. If he comes back and he loses, now he's going to get absolutely bad. Yeah. It's simple as that. And it goes back to what we just said. It's a results-based game. You get the results, you're the best. If you don't get the results, you get the chop. Simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, I spoke to a couple of players not long after he'd left, and I don't know whether or not they were told to say this by the club, but the impression I got from them was he got a good offer and he went. That's football. That's sort of what happens. Because, I mean, people have said to me, oh, do you think the players, if it did happen, would the players trust him? How would they? Do players think like that? Or is it just players just go, oh, well, this happens?
I mean, it's always that QPR have had a big turnaround of managers over the last few years, haven't they? I mean, the only one who'd been there for a bit was Warburton. How was Warburton in charge? Three seasons?
Three seasons, yeah.
Yeah, so that was quite stable.
Yeah.
QPR, you know, again, what I said, if the manager comes in and he picks you, and he picks you regular, you're happy. The biggest problem for managers is the ones he leaves out on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Big problem. You got to manage them. You really have to manage the one you're playing. I mean, you have to like going, but those ones that you're sort of regularly playing, they're happy. So ones that ain't playing, they're the ones you've got to manage and try and get them on the pitch, you know, and rotate as much as you can and make them happy. So, look, footballers, believe me, they want to play, they want to earn money, and they want days off.
Mm.
You give them free, they're happy.
And play five-a-side?
And play small-sided games every day. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, honestly, that is it. And have a bit of a laugh.
Mm.
Enjoy yourselves. All this, you know, best coach this, best coach that. Yeah, it matters if you've got the right system. Good managers get the best system for the players that they've got.
Yeah.
And then if they've got a system that they want to play, they recruit the players for that system. And really, not many managers change their systems often. Their plan B is always make plan A better.
Mm.
Then you can tinker it every now and again. If the opposition are very good in midfield, you'll put an extra man in midfield. I mean, I spoke to you the other day about, you know, you play 4-4-2. We used to play Ray Wilkins, when he was manager, 4-4-2. We used to play Liverpool away, and he used to say, Kevin, when they've got the ball, when we lose the ball, you run 10 yards back from your centre forward position, and you just stand around John Barnes so he don't get the ball. So then we just become a 4-5-1 out of possession. Then we go to a 4-4-2 in possession. So all this stuff, you know, major tactical stuff, it's nonsense. It's back to the high press, low block, this one. High press is the new Jackie Charlton, late 80s, early 90s for Ireland. Put them under pressure. When they get the ball, push up and put them under pressure. And make them make mistakes in that part of the pitch where you're nearer the goal. It's not rocket science, but a lot of talk about tacticals and this. Yeah, you have to have a bit of tactics and you have to be aware of certain good players. If a good player is playing on the left and he's coming in on the right, he's going to come on his right foot all the time, show him the line. It's just basic information. It's nothing like special.
Mm. Yeah. I think with Beale as well, I mean, I don't think I've ever met anyone in football who's as confident in his own ability as Beale.
It'd be interesting to see if he's confidence is
though, Ian. Yeah. But I mean, his ego is going to be pricked by what's happened to him at Rangers.
Yeah.
You know, little cheap digs at Postecoglou when he was at Celtic, sort of calling him lucky and this and that and stuff like that. And, you know, he didn't really need to get into verbal spats with Chris Sutton, that kind of thing. And, you know, there was also, you know, very strong rumours, or, you know, I think it's probably fact, actually, that he was having talks with other clubs when he was at QPR early on about moving elsewhere. So I completely understand why there's suspicion about him. But you kind of think if there's a Zoom meeting between the directors and what have you, and someone says, well, why are we so upset when he went? We thought we were onto something good.
Yeah.
You know, nothing will surprise me in football. Nothing does.
No.
But I will say, there's a guy called Darren Tovey. He's a big QPR fan, and he was so outraged when Beale left. He drove all the way to Glasgow, and he was interviewed by Sky Sports outside Ibrox, thinking he was a Rangers fan.
Yeah.
I told him what for. So I don't think Darren would be too pleased if Mick Beale came back. But it's like, it's all hypothetical, and you know, it's probably a tad unfair to be talking about this when Gareth Ainsworth is still in the job, but.
Yeah, yeah.
And as we say, he's on a tricky wicket at the moment, and you know, a trip to Huddersfield is not going to be easy. It certainly isn't. Predictions? How do you see it?
Well, is everyone fit? That's for starters.
I don't know. Yeah, Gareth doesn't like to say who's fit and who's not.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that Cook and Morgan Fox may return. I don't know.
It's interesting. Well, Sam Field will be back, won't he?
Yeah.
So that's a big plus. It's going to be a tough game because we don't really get... Do we get much up there? It's a tough place to go. They got a new manager. But I think we are set up better away from home, because I think we set up at home like we do as an away team, which is not the way to do it at Queen's Park Rain, that Loftus Road. But we're set up, you know... And I like to be positive. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to go for a 1-1. And that will be a good point. And then we've got Tuesday away. Is it West Brom? Am I right in saying that?
I think so, yeah.
And then Leicester at home. So we need
Leicester,
so. This game is on paper the easiest, but it's still tough. There's no easy games in the Championship. If you're not on your game, you'll get beat. It's simple as that. But if you're looking at those three games, you need to get something out of this Huddersfield game. Really have to.
Yeah, it really is a must-win game, not just for both the manager and the team, because you don't want to be stuck in the bottom three at this stage of the season and spend the whole season looking up. You want to be sort of climbing away from it. But yeah, I'm going to go for a draw as well. I'm going to go for a dour 0-0 draw. Teams don't score many goals, they don't create many chances, so yeah, I think, you know, will it be a good point? Maybe. But you need all three. But I just think at the minute, I don't see that happening, to be honest. I think confidence looks very low. You know, really. Yeah, 0-0 draw. 0-0 draw.
Back the midfield out. 5-4-1.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, as ever, Kevin.
No problem.
And thanks for joining us. Hopefully next week we'll return talking about a much needed 3 points for QPR. But yeah, continue to like and favourite this and what have you. And, you know, in addition to be on YouTube, we're also on Spotify and iTunes and various other podcast platforms. So find us there. So enjoy your week and we'll see you next week.
Social Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.